Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And, you know, Congressman Charlie Rangel is far from the only legislator with his name on the side of a building. As you probably know, the House Ethics Panel has charged the Harlem congressman with 13 ethics violations that include inappropriate use of rent-stabilized apartments, errors on financial disclosure forms, failure to report taxable income on a property in the Dominican Republic, and violations having to do with fundraising for a City College educational center named after him. It's this last type of violation that we want to talk about now. Joining me to discuss how common these kinds of donations are, how much of it is about quid pro quo for favorable legislation, and what an oil company has to do with it, is Eric Lipton, who's been covering the ethics charges for the New York Times. Hey, Eric, welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you. So let's jump right into the oil connection. Congressman Rangel allegedly supported a tax loophole that would benefit an oil drilling company called Nabors Industries, just as its CEO donated $1 million to the educational center that would bear Rangel's name at City College. Explain that piece of the ethics charges.
The problem for Representative Rangel was that he solicited money for the center that is going to be named after him using House stationery and House staff. And the allegation is that that he was simultaneously, he and his office, speaking with potential donors to this program that's going to, you know, create a center for the papers of Representative Rangel and also for, you know, educational purposes. At the same time as he was soliciting money, he was also talking to them about legislative matters that were before the Ways and Means Committee, where he was chairman.
And Nabors Industries used to be based in New York, but moved offshore in 2002, from what I've read. Now they're based in Bermuda. Congress moved to eliminate the tax loophole that allowed offshore companies to avoid paying taxes, but it only applied to companies that had moved offshore after 2003, exempting Nabors Industries. Congressman Rangel has remained an opponent of rolling back that tax loophole in general, so it looks like he made a singular exception for this company.
He did support legislation that rolled it back to 2002. That change saved this company an estimated $500 million or more. And this change in the law occurred around the same time that he was soliciting these donations. The chief executive gave $500,000 to the Rangel Center. The company gave another $500,000. So it, at a minimum, what the Ethics Committee has charged is that it's created an appearance of that he took action in return for this donation, and that would be a violation of the House rules.
And let's look a little more deeply at that appearance, because Rangel, as it's charged, set up a meeting for himself with the Nabors Industries CEO, Eugene Eisenberg, and City College officials in, of all people, D.A. Robert Morgenthau's office. They then met again, allegedly, at the Carlisle Hotel to discuss this tax loophole and Rangel's continued support of it. That's all explicitly named in the statement of alleged violations. But what's the actual violation there, and how much of this is business as usual, the kind of thing that takes place with members of Congress and lobbyists and industries all the time?
I mean, what clearly, you know, if true, and he has acknowledged that this did occur, is a violation, is the using House stationery and House staff to solicit money for a private charity that he's affiliated with. He's acknowledged that that was a mistake, and that is a, you know, it's pretty clear cut. You can't use the government sort of property, essentially, to raise money for a private charity.
Can I jump in there for a second? Because that seems like a technicality, and that we have a really larger problem in America than what Congressman Rangel allegedly did there. I mean, is that really what congressional ethics hinges on? Not whether you take $1 million donation to your favorite charity from an oil company and then give them $500 million tax break, allegedly, in exchange, but which letterhead you use?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I guess one thing first is that the case against Rangel involves a lot of other things, including an apartment, the rent-stabilized apartment that he had for over a decade at a discounted price, is the allegation, and failing to pay his federal tax returns.
Sure, all those things. But on this particular charge.
Right. Well, I mean, that is in part Rangel's defense, which is that there's approximately a dozen other nonprofits that are affiliated, universities that have created endowed chairs or centers named after members of Congress, and that those centers have, collected millions of dollars in donations and corporations with business before the committees that these senators and House members sit on. And there are those who think that living members of Congress should not be allowed to play a role in collecting donations from corporations because it creates this appearance of a conflict of interest. If you get $1 million from AT&T or from Verizon or from Northrop Grumman, a defense contractor, and then you're the guy who's deciding, defense contracts, doesn't that create an appearance or a real conflict of interest?
So, listeners, do you want to weigh in on this? Is this a Rangel problem or is this an America problem? Do you think donations to universities that are honoring legislators should even be allowed? Should those legislators be allowed to participate in fundraising for those universities? 212-433-WNYC or anything else you want to say about this? 212-433-9692 for Eric Lipton, covering the ethics charges against Rangel for the New York Times. 212-433-9692 or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And just for a random example of another member of Congress who has such a relationship, an endowment at the University of Louisville intended as a tribute to Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell has received hundreds of thousands of dollars from a military contractor that later got a $12 million earmark sponsored by the senator. So, Eric, is that not the same thing? Is it not the same thing only because McConnell maybe did it on his personal stationery instead of his Senate stationery?
Yeah, I mean, McConnell's case is actually among the dozen or so cases that exist here, is among the closer parallels, because he explicitly got involved in actually soliciting money from companies. And some of the other members, whereas like a Jim Oberstar, who's chairman of the House Transportation Committee, in that case, he did not actually approach companies and say, would you give money in honor of me? In McConnell's case, he actually did, pursue the money on his own. And so it more explicitly creates an appearance of a conflict of interest. And, it's a valid question. I mean, one of the allegations, again, that was the charges in the ethics complaint against Rangel was that one of the things that this Rangel Center is going to include is an archivist. And an archivist, the job is going to be to go through all of his papers from his four decades in Congress when he does retire or, leave office, and to prepare them for, being available in perpetuity. And that's a service, in fact, that he's gaining. That's something that's going to preserve his legacy. And that there's a value to that. And so that, he was, again, using his office to gain something of value. And that's another ethics charge. And there are other members who also got archivists. Former House Speaker Denny Hastert has an archivist at a center that was endowed through corporate donations while he was in office. And there are others as well.
Is Nabors Industries, by the way, going back to the Rangel case, a big player in oil drilling? This is not a household name like ExxonMobil or BP. Are they somehow a proxy for the rest of the industry? Why would Congressman Rangel have a particular relationship with this one company?
I think it was the chief executive of the company, Eugene Eisenberg, who was just known in New York circles. And it's a kind of a lower profile company that in through the 80s really had been doing more contracting land drilling services. And so it's not a company that you buy oil from. It did contract drilling. And so it just has a much lower profile. And it was the relationship between Eugene Eisenberg, the chief executive chairman of the company, and Representative Rangel that I think led to the solicitation of the donation, and also him meeting with Rangel about the possibility of him helping him on this tax provision.
And it's so not the kind of thing people would associate with Charlie Rangel. If there was a financial relationship there with, a real estate company that was helping poor people get mortgages through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac or, something like that. But an oil company, a $500 million tax break for an oil company. It's just not the kind of thing you would associate with Charlie Rangel at all.
Yeah, no, it does seem sort of out of character that he would be coming to the defense of an oil company. It's not the kind of the player that he has championed in his career. I mean, the charges against them, they really touch on a range of activities. I mean, one of the observations that's been made to me is that this reflects, I mean, the length of his service in Congress, and that there, you know, whether or not this is true, is that there's a lower tolerance today for the kinds of indiscretions that may have been considered, you know, just the way of doing business in Washington. And now with the intense scrutiny on ethics from the media, from so watchdog groups, that the kind of favor exchanging that used to occur quite frequently has now become, you know, something you can be on trial for, and that's now what he's facing.
Shanti in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC with Eric Lipton from the New York Times. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I agree that Senator Mr. Wrangler and anybody else in Congress should not be participating in these kind of activities where there could be any possible influence over their voting behavior. I think they just went through all this trouble of passing laws so that physicians can't accept any kind of gifts from pharmaceutical representatives, including pens. They're so concerned that our opinions might be swayed by something as small as a pen or a pad of paper.
You're a doctor.
I think they should follow the same principles for our senators, representatives, and all the politicians.
Shanti, thank you very much. So is this, Eric, these donations to university departments institutions named after members of Congress, is this in effect a way for corporate donors and other interests to be able to give unlimited and unregulated donations to lawmakers because they're not regulated in the same ways as campaign contributions?
Yeah, it's true. There are no limits on the amount that you can donate to a charity. And as a result, the thing that's interesting is that the companies all insist that there's no relationship between their donation to these universities or charities affiliated with members and their agenda in Washington. They insist that this is purely out of charity, that they care about, you know, the Rangel Center, for example, or the, you know, this endowed chair in Hawaii or in Minnesota. But then the thing is, when you look in depth at the actual contributions, and there's a correlation between, you know, a company like Amgen that contributed $5 million to an endowed a program that was being created for Ted Kennedy before he died. And he, at the same time, was sponsoring legislation that was going to extend Amgen's protection against generic drugs that was going to be enormously valuable for Amgen. There's a company called FMC that is a chemical company that makes an ingredient that it wants to have used in road construction projects across the United States. And it has given more than three or four separate contributions to a professorship that in the honor of James Oberstar, who, you know, big coincidence, he is the chairman of the House Transportation Committee that sets priorities when it comes to highways. So, you know, in Hawaii, Senator Inouye has an endowed chair named after him, and he was instrumental in getting legislation passed that created a exemption for a Norwegian cruise line so that it could make more stops in the United States territory. And again, among the donors, again, there is the same Norwegian cruise line. So, I mean, there's these coincidences and the correlations between their legislative agendas and the donations, you know, could make an outsider say, you know, this is not a purely by chance. These companies see this as part of a legislative lobbying effort, and perhaps it's having an influence on the members, even if both sides insist that it isn't.
Roland in Greenwich Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roland.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
There's a line from an August Wilson play that says, when you're born, you got three strikes on you before you come to the plate. It's unfortunate what Mr. Wrangel did, but when you're black in this country, there's certain things you can't do. There's a double standard. It's the unsaid. He shouldn't have done what he did, but he did it. But he should have been more aware of the racial implications. When you're a black person in this country and you've got power and money and you mess up, it's a double whammy on you. So my point is that it's unfortunate. He should have been more aware. He forgot he was black, and now he's going to have to suffer the consequences. Thank you.
Thank you, Roland. Eric, you've talked about other examples of things that sound strikingly similar to what Wrangel did, at least in this aspect of the ethics charges. They're not being brought up on ethics charges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know that it sounds trivial, but the use of House resources was really critical in this case. And it's just a line that you really can't cross. He did, and he's acknowledged that he used the stationery and the office staff, and it's unfortunate, but that's the reality. I mean, the problem for Rangel, and the reason that we're all talking about it right now, is because he's decided that he's going to fight the charges, and that in most cases in the last decade or so, if there's been an ethics investigation, the committee does the investigation, and if it brings, you know, feels like it has grounds to bring charges, it presents the evidence to the lawyer for the member. And usually there's a settlement, and there's a, you know, that they are reprimanded, a letter of approval, right. Something very trivial. And then there's a couple days news story, and then the story goes away. It's because he's decided to fight it, and there's going to be a public trial, that this is a story that's going to go on for weeks and months, and it's bringing so much attention. And Maxine Waters, representative of California, has also decided to fight ethics charges against her. Again, it means that it's going to be in the news for a long period of time.
And, you know, again, people will say, well, Maxine Waters, another African-American member of Congress, trying to help minority-owned banks, as she says, has been part of her entire career. But because her husband happens to own stock in one of them, suddenly she's being brought up on ethics charges. But I want to get into the Maxine Waters case because we're almost out of time. And I want to ask you one other thing about Rangel. In the ethics panel statement of alleged violation, it says that he had a personal interest. Use those words, personal interest, in seeing that the center was built because it would provide him with an office and allows him to perpetuate his legacy, including the storage and archiving of his papers. Now, it is a little hard to imagine that the congressman would go to all the trouble and potentially violate ethics rules and give, you know, a huge tax break to a maybe undeserving oil company just for a place to store his papers, and he already has several offices, and he's not getting, you know, nobody's accusing him of taking cash in an envelope or anything like that. So is this all about perpetrating one's legacy, allegedly?
Yeah, I mean, relative to this particular charge among the 13 charges,
right.
That's largely what this is about. It's not about, you know, the personal gain is sort of hard to for the average person to see, the notion that it's perpetuating his legacy and that someone's going to, you know, put his papers into order. That's the personal gain that's alleged in this case. It's not a matter of getting personal payments. So, I mean, you know, it is a nuanced thing, but, you know, I mean, in the full landscape of charges, if you look at them, you know, the improper filing of statements and tax, you know, statements and taking an apartment but not at a proper rent. I mean, you know, it's the full landscape of charges that make the case more serious, and this is one among them.
Last thing, we just have 20 seconds. I don't know if you're following this aspect of the case, but Rangel apparently says he's trying to make a plea deal, but the Republicans on the committee really want the spectacle of the trial because it's going to help Republicans in the midterm elections. Do you know if that's true?
Yeah, I think that it's more true now. He had an opportunity to settle the case before he actually went to the trial phase. They're now in the trial phase, and it's become political, and it's going to be much harder for him to get a settlement now.
Eric Lipton is investigative reporter for the Washington Bureau at the New York Times. He's been covering the ethics charges against Congressman Charles Rangel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, when not to text message your kids at college. Stay tuned.